Get ready for a journey into the heart of Bridgeport politics with In Absentia, a new podcast from Connecticut Public's investigative team, The Accountability Project. Learn about the city's past and present political dysfunction and the systems that enable it. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts.
Funding provided by Robert Yeager and the Tau Foundation.
You are winning. You're always getting better and better and better and better and better at this. So soften up.
Friendly reminder. Sometimes the secret to having it all is knowing that you already do.
Good morning, beautiful soul. How's your heart?
From Connecticut Public Radio in Hartford, this is Audacious. I'm Kyone Wolfe. Those were the voices of people you met in our first installment of our series about positive social media influencers. Because here's the thing, the algorithms know what they're doing. If you watch bad news, you're going to get more bad news. But when the algorithm changes for the better, you do too. I figured this out when I was going through a really tough time a few years ago. My personal life felt exploded and scary and sad. And in a desperate attempt to make any sense of my turmoil, I subscribed to social media accounts that had one focus and one focus only: to uplift. And you know what? The algorithm began to alchemize me. As soon as I would subscribe to an uplifting account, boom, I started seeing more uplifting accounts. Subscribe, boom, more. Subscribe, boom, more. And two of those booms happened to be artists who expressed their love and care beyond the canvas. And you're going to meet them today. Lanaya Roberts is a painter from Kentucky, famous for wearing a bright orange smock and turning to the camera to say things like,
"Can we please start giving ourselves the permission to suck at things, to not be the greatest, to be an amateur? Can we please give ourselves the freedom to make mistakes? I mean, all of us had to suck at something. All of us had a starting point."
You'll meet Lanaya in a little bit, but we're starting off with the force of positive nature that is Bruce W. Brackett. Picture this. You're in a snowy backyard in the Poconos with a beautiful arbor in the middle of it. A figure comes leaping through the arbor, holding a golden chalice above his head, snapping a hand fan open and closed, saying,
"Hi! Wait! 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 The heartache isn't going to last forever. Here's a cup of love. Drink up and enjoy. It is all for you. Here. Here, baby. Grab my hands. Let's breathe." I know what you're going through right now is really, really painful. It's really hard. I promise you, it's not gonna last forever. You're gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. I love you, and I am proud of you. You can do this. Keep going. Keep going."
Now, Bruce wasn't always like this. In fact, he is the way he is today because of some extreme pain in his past. He writes about his struggles in his upcoming book, How to Breathe While Suffocating, a story of overcoming addiction, recovering from trauma, and healing my soul. For the past few years, Bruce has been spreading his signature catchphrase, "Negativity be gone," to his 1.3 million followers on social media and to crowds around the world as a motivational speaker. But let's back up to February of 2021. Bruce sets up an account on TikTok and he starts showing off his artwork. He slowly starts sharing more and more of his story, and more views start adding up.
And then eventually I said the words "negativity be gone" in a video, and it really, I mean, the rest was history. It exploded into something very quickly that I did not know how to deal with it. I didn't really know how to swallow it other than I've hit on something here. People resonate with this. Let's keep going. In the first month since that video, on TikTok, I gained something like 100,000 followers, and it took me to well over 500,000, and now the same on Instagram. So that's what I've dedicated my time and energy to.
What does that feel like? Because like, I got a public radio show and I can see the numbers of people who are listening or who we can kind of guess are listening. But in my head, it's just like my mom listening to this show,
right,
and like two friends.
Yeah.
Do you go through something like that where you, like, you see these numbers and you think, it was my vulnerability, it was my pain, and also my creativity that is bringing all these people? Like, what in the world does it feel like to know that being utterly yourself is bringing more and more people closer to you?
Well, I think like everyone, it's a roller coaster. Whether you have a platform, you're in the public eye, or you're not. There are days where I just feel so silly running up to my phone in the woods and being like, hey, like, you know, and here I am and giving the shimmies and I'm alone in the woods. And like, if anyone's walking by, it's just Bruce like shimmying to a tree, you know, like, so I do have moments where I find this is ridiculous. And, you know, but then that's quickly squashed by the amount of people that chime in and say, hey, I went through that, or I'm going through that, but in a completely different way. And it's the messages that I get when people share a very brief part of what it is that they're going through. And for some reason, I was the light that they needed for them to not end it, or it didn't take them back out into a relapse. So that makes it worth it. Because I have those days where I feel like I want to end it, or, oh, it'd just be better if I just got drunk, you know? So to be reminded of why it is that I keep moving forward in this platform when I see that love coming back from strangers in the world, it's really amazing.
There's this idea of bleeding from the pulpit. When I was going through some difficulty in my personal life, I had a friend say, you know, I get why you're talking about this, but you really should consider speaking from a healed place and not bleeding from the pulpit in front of the congregation. That's not what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hear messages from people like Glennon Doyle who talk about the messy middle and living the pain. If that's how you're wired, if that's what works for you, living the pain in front of other people. And I know just a few days ago you posted that life has been throwing a lot of difficulties in your direction. There was a video of you crying and your pain was clearly very raw.
It's 3 a.m. I'm filled with rage. No, I didn't relapse. I almost feel like I wish I had. It's in moments like this that they say, we don't pick up a drink or a drug, no matter what. No matter what life throws at you, no matter what comes your way, this will pass. Breathe. You've come so far. I've come so far. It'll be easier to stay sober than it will be to try and get sober again.
And you got so much love and so many responses from that. I'd love to hear about what you make of that.
It's still raw. I am very much going through a turbulent time in my life right now. And I didn't know what else to do. It was 3 a.m. The majority of people that I know are not awake at that time. And we are always, for some reason, we are programmed to not ask for help. And when it's in the middle of the night, it's even more inconvenient. So, you know, I didn't know what to do. And I've gotten really good through the course of my recovery in asking for help. And it's amazing what happens. And sometimes asking for help can look like that video. Just post something to hold yourself accountable, to get it off of your chest, whether it's posting a video or writing in your journal or sharing it with another person. There's so many ways that you can ask for help without being like, hey, I need help for this reason, because that's hard. And that's okay. It should be. I think anything worthwhile is hard and difficult to achieve. But once you do it, oh my goodness, it's so worth it. So that's what I did. I didn't really have anyone to call. So I posted a video and I woke up and 200,000 other people were like, yep, I couldn't sleep either. And because of this, this, and this. And the power of social media is so amazing to me. And if we can find that connection that we all are looking for in our everyday life offline, and just put a little percentage of that into the strangers that we see online, things would be moving in a different direction for more positivity and more acceptance, which is also why I do what I do.
Yeah, it makes me think about how when, you know, when I go through your comment section and I see the avalanche upon avalanche of love and care that people have for you, and then I watch your videos and there are moments where you say, you know, hold my hands, and you put your hand in front of the camera and breathe. I can't tell you how many times I've breathed with you. Oh. And how good it makes me feel. But what's even cooler, but beyond the moments that you share with many thousands of people who are checking out your account, beyond that, I feel like sometimes it's a practice of what I can bring into my real life. So when I'm out with my friends and I just get a feeling that one of my friends isn't quite feeling well, now you've demonstrated what is it like to be proactive? What is it like to say, I'm here for you. Just breathe. I maybe don't even know what to say to you, but do you want to breathe with me? Like, that's incredibly powerful.
Yeah. It saved my life many times, just sitting back and breathing, whether I was alone or not. A lot of everything, the majority of everything I post is for people who need to hear it, but it's also for me. There's so many comments that I see of people like, I hope that you take your own advice, or I hope you watch your own videos. I do, you know, because I need to hear those things as well. I don't have this figured out. I'm not a wizard. I'm not a mental health professional. I didn't go to years and years of school to figure this out. I went through years and years of figuring it out in life and going to therapy for a very long time and investing in myself. So in a way, I went through the life of school, but...
Earth school.
Yeah, earth school. Life. Yeah, degree of life.
That was author and public speaker Bruce W. Brackett. You can find him at bwb.positivity. And if you're experiencing a mental health crisis, you can call or text the Suicide and Crisis Helpline at 988. When we get back, Bruce offers some big picture wisdom.
Everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear. So push through that fear and get everything you've ever wanted.
Plus, painter Lanaya Roberts. Now, why it's so important to open up.
It's when we let go that we have room to receive. You know, you can't grab onto anything else with your fists closed.
I'm Kyone Wolf. This is Audacious. Stay with me.
Support for this podcast comes from Hartford HealthCare.
Elevating Health is funded by Hartford HealthCare. The FDA has recently approved Zepbound, a new medication for chronic weight management. Dr. Davida Umashankar, Hartford HealthCare's System Medical Director of Medical Weight Loss, tells us more.
Zepbound helps decrease hunger and increase satiety levels. Taking this medication for 72 weeks, people can see at the highest dosage approximately 48 pounds of weight loss. So definitely a powerful drug and another powerful tool that we have to utilize to help individuals who struggle with obesity.
For those ready to explore their medical weight loss options, Dr. Umashankar has advice on the first most important step.
I don't think anyone knows you better than your own primary care physician. So having that conversation whenever you feel ready is so important because these medications are quite powerful and do need to be monitored on a regular basis.
To learn more, go to ctpublic.org/elevatinghealth.
This is Audacious. I'm Kyon Wolf. If your social media feed gets you down, well, good news. You can do something about it. If you follow the guests on today's show, your whole algorithm will change, and you probably will too. In a little bit, we'll meet a painter whose loving and sometimes difficult lessons have uplifted hundreds of thousands of people on social media. But right now, we're getting to know Bruce W. Brackett. He's a motivational speaker, a painter, and the author of the upcoming book, How to Breathe While Suffocating, a story of overcoming addiction, recovering from trauma, and healing my soul. His social media feed is relentlessly honest and encouraging, even on his most difficult days. Let's get back to our conversation.
One of your videos, it's funny, you made me laugh when I first heard it. You said,
"It's not as bad as what you're making it out to be. Keep breathing and keep going."
And it was such a simple, short video, but it's not as bad as you're making it out to be. I think that sometimes, I'm pretty sure that in my final moments of living, in those final precious moments, it will occur to me that I made some things harder than they had to be.
Yeah.
I did that. And when I think about the stuff that's happened to me that I don't think I did, I'm pretty sure like I couldn't have manifested this.
Yeah.
But that message really reminded me that like, oh, you know, sometimes we do have more agency than we think in terms of how we look at a situation.
Absolutely. It's very funny, the lies that we believe that we tell ourselves. And a lot of times it adds fuel to the fire of our anxiety, of our depression, of feeling like we're not where we need to be in life. All of these things, it's a lie. You are right where you need to be. And, you know, some people will come back with that. Well, I'm supposed to be feeling my anxiety here and it's supposed to be this bad. Well, yes, you are supposed to be feeling your anxiety here. And no, it doesn't have to be this bad. Breathe. It's not as bad as what you are making it out to be. Now, I can't say that in terms of thinking that I know what they are going through. It's one of my biggest pet peeves. Oh, I understand. I know exactly what you're going through. In a way, you might, but it's almost like someone coming up to you and saying, "I'm really sad," and me replying, "Oh, don't be sad."
Oof. Ooh, or don't cry.
Oh. Or don't cry. Yeah, it immediately just says your feelings are making me uncomfortable. So I want you to not be that way here with me. And it really shuts down any chance of that person feeling safe or heard or having that turning point of getting back to happy. It's a roadblock. So if we can sit back and realize, I'm in this moment. My feet are right here on the ground. I woke up today.
You made the wake up list.
You made the wake up list. I have an option to change my thought. I have an option to go in a different direction. And I can do that at any point during my day. So can you. So can you.
Yeah, it makes me think about how like, so much of the inner turmoil that I experience and that I think a lot of people experience are the stories we tell ourselves about what's happened and what's happening. And sometimes it feels like it's happening right now when it isn't. Like it happened, it's done, but you keep replaying the story, you keep interpreting the story in a way that maybe is even more harmful than the actual event, but you're in your own head, so you don't really know it. There's a Byron Katie quote that I love that goes, "Peace is who you already are without a story." And that video of yours reminds me of how we have agency over our stories.
I love that. Yeah, it is so true. People ask, how are you so joyous or how are you so peaceful? Well, I'm not that 100% of the time, but I am peace because I already have it. It's there. It's getting out of your own way and allowing yourself to really receive all of the abundance and the gifts of that warm feeling. But yeah, a lot of us are in our own way and telling ourselves lies that we don't need to be telling ourselves.
When you look at the comment sections and you see all that love and maybe dotted with people saying things that are not particularly nice, how does that feel in you? What do you do with that?
I'm very grateful that I don't actually receive a ton of negativity, and I think I've warded off negativity be gone. So
I mean, you said negativity be gone.
I might have created a force field. I'm not sure.
I think you did.
But when it does come, I immediately see a hurt person. I don't ever take it personally. I have a lot of compassion and love for people who are in pain, because I was that person too. I said some really hateful things to people. I acted in violence. I acted in criminal ways when I was in the throes of my heavy, heavy active addiction. I was not a very nice person. And here I am now, and I am actively trying to not be that person anymore and not repeat those things and live on the other side of it. So who's to say if I can't do it? Like, why can't they? So it's not like I'm giving them hundreds of chances, and it's not like I'm trying to hold their hand through their hate, but I'm also not going to dismiss them in their experience, because they're clearly hurting. And there's a place in my heart for people like that. There's also a line that you can cross, and then I'm like, okay, well.
Negativity, no, really, be gone. You're blocked.
Yeah, bye-bye. Yeah, so that's okay, but that's also not up for me. If they want to cross that line, that's up to them.
Because of the nature of Audacious, I tend to often ask people, if you could go back in time and talk to yourself as a child or at your darkest moment and give yourself a message from the future, other than winning lottery numbers, what do you think? No.
No lottery. No.
No. No, that's another episode of Audacious. People who've won the lottery is not easy.
But I'm sure.
That being said, if you could go back to yourself at your darkest, most desperate moment and give Bruce a message, what would it be?
Oh, wow. Said I wasn't going to cuss, but holy. Okay. In my darkest moment, I wasn't ready to listen to anyone, let alone even if it was coming from my future self. I really would. Nope. I was so twisted in my own way that I wasn't ready. I didn't want to be ready. And I thought I had it figured out, and it was a mess. The lies that we tell ourselves, right? But going back, I would go to a few different versions of myself. One, when I was 3, when I was removed and put through the foster care system I would just like to hold little Bruce's hands and pat him on the head and make sure that he knows very clearly that he is loved and it's okay to be loved. And then my 16-year-old self, I would have to bring a baseball bat with me to try and get me to pay attention or even listen. But I would. I would take my hands, breathe, and I would just say that so much good is coming your way. Do not give up. You were so worth the abundance, the goodness, and the heartaches that you're going to experience. It's going to shape you into a beautiful person that you will love one day, that you will actually genuinely love one day. And again, remember that you were loved and it's okay to be loved.
Thank you for that. I think we can all hear that message, no matter what we've been through.
I hope you do. I hope you do. No matter what it is that you've done in your life, no matter who you've wronged, how someone has wronged you, and that anger that you take with you from whatever experience, what you've done, what you said to someone, it's all in the past. And I need you to forgive yourself right now in this moment. You can. And I don't know what you've gone through. I don't know what horrible stuff you have done or what you've said, but I do know that you are worthy of good no matter what. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. You are worthy of good and you are worthy of love. And if you can forgive yourself in this moment right now, just make the decision. I forgive myself. Don't be naive though, because it's going to take a lot of work. Still, you're going to feel it for a long time. It's going to take a lot of work.
It's a practice.
It's a practice. It does not get fixed overnight. Be so patient with yourself. Be so gentle with yourself and allow yourself to get to the other side of that. One of my favorite quotes is by George Adair, "Everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear." So push through that fear and get everything you've ever wanted. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, sign me up. Let's go.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Is it going to be scary? Yeah. Is it going to be worth it? Yeah. Yeah, it will be.
Well, Bruce W. Brackett, thank you so much for talking with me.
What an honor just to be here with you and to share this time, to have our paths cross and to be able to talk about something that is really hard for a lot of people to talk about. I appreciate that.
You can experience Bruce for yourself and check out his new book by visiting ctpublic.org/audacious. Scroll a little more with me into the social media feed of Lanaya Roberts.
Some goals just ain't meant to be microwaved, baby. Yeah, I said it. Some of our goals have to be put in that oven, slow roasted, in order to be as long lasting as we are desiring for them to be. As much as we want them to be good and juicy and sweet when it comes, we have to be patient and recognize that sometimes we can't have it quickly. We gotta have it slowly.
Lanaya is a painter from Louisville, Kentucky. She's built up her social media following to 365,000 people since May of 2022. I asked her to talk about how she got the idea to speak to the world this way.
I am scrolling for years on this platform, looking at all these people sharing positive messages, doing positive things, expressing themselves, and just feeling like on the inside, oh my gosh, like I could do that, you know? But just never being in a position where I was feeling courageous enough or just like ready enough to share that those parts of myself, those intimate parts of myself with the world just yet. I was still healing, still doing inner work, but also still very afraid of being seen because majority of my life as a plus size Black woman, I felt invisible. And so being seen and putting myself out there has its own set of fears for me. So one day I woke up from a dream with this divine sense of clarity. And I hear this voice, and the voice says, Lanaya, stop trying to follow trends and just speak to the people. And I was just like, what does that mean? Just speak to the people. That's not important enough. That's not cool enough. That's not me enough. I guess that doesn't have all of me, right? Because I want to be known for being an artist, not for being a speaker. So later on that week, I kept that dream. I kept that moment in mind. And I was just like, what am I going to talk about? I don't even know what to talk about. In 1 minute at that, I can talk. Da, 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 da. So anyways, I ended up having a really good conversation with a friend about being afraid to share ourselves online. And I went back out to my studio right afterwards. And as soon as I entered into the space, I just felt a ping in my heart where it was just like, that's it. That's what you could talk about. And I was just like, yeah, I could definitely talk about that for 1 minute. And I sat down, I set my camera down. I made sure one of my paintings were in the background, you know, because I'm like, I want people to know I'm an artist. Okay, how can I do that? Okay, I'm painting this watercolor painting. Let me hold a paintbrush while I'm talking. I talk with my hands. Let me keep my apron on, right? And that was the first moment that I had shared anything to people online speaking. I had an average of around 4,000 video views, like on my like most viewed videos. And that video got like 6,000 views. And so I had like broken through like a personal record for myself, which was like my sense of beginner's luck in a way. I was just like, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is, I need to continue going on this route. And so that's where it began.
For my show, I get to screw up all I want when I do my recordings. Like I flub all the time, and I could just retake it. I expect myself to flub my lines. No one's listening to me. I know how to edit audio.
Right.
When you record, it doesn't seem scripted. Is that right? You don't have a script rolling in front of you.
No, I don't.
How many times do you retake? Like, have you ever done it and like you nailed it one done? Or do you usually be like, nah, I got to try again?
I don't think I've ever done a one and done. I've done a two and done. And that's my most viral video thus far.
Which one?
It's the one that's called where I say,
has there been growth? I didn't ask how much growth. I asked, has there been growth? Yes or no question. And if the answer is yes, I'm gonna need you to clap some hands and celebrate with yourself. Because if there's been growth, guess what that means? There's going to be growth.
I did that because I am notorious for sitting in front of my phone for an entire hour straight, re-recording and listening back and re-recording. And mind you, the thing about it is that a lot of the times it's not me. I will record a video and I'd be like, that's perfect. And as soon as I touch my phone to pick it up, I hear my spirit. No, it wasn't. Do it again. And what I've learned through the trial and tribulations of this experience within myself is that there's just one more download. There's just one more moment. There's just one more point of view, one more sentence that hasn't been spoken yet, that hasn't been received yet, that if I just do it one more time, it will. And like, I don't know this, but that could be that sentence to unlock something in someone else. There have been plenty of times where I'm just like, I've heard that voice and I'm just like, but I've recorded this 8 times already. I don't care. This is good enough. Progress over perfection. And then, so my second most viral video, which is where I'm talking about, I say,
if you are ugly, that's okay. Because society has all these definitions, baby, of beauty and all these standards that are really based on the most terrible things and the most inaccurate ideas on what life is really supposed to be about. And when it comes to you defining the quality of your life based off of your looks, you're in the wrong. Because at the end of the day, you can be ugly and still get
everything that you've ever dreamed of. You can be ugly and walk on this earth and still get all the loving, honey, that you've ever desired. You can be ugly and love yourself more than a pretty person. You can be ugly and have just the most beautiful life circumstances fall into your lap, because guess what? Life didn't create beauty standards. Society did.
Yeah,
that was one that I had on my list that spoke to me when I heard that. I had to listen to it a few times. And it does, it's funny, it really does reveal, like, the ones that I want to talk to you about reveal a lot about me. The fact that if you're ugly, that's okay. Like, I needed to hear that. Ooh. Another one that you did was, I get goosebumps thinking about it. More is on the way.
More is on the way. I didn't say, don't let that scarcity mindset get to you and make you think that more is not on the way. Realize that it is possible that more is on the way. And to believe that beautiful things can still happen in your life. Honey, we're leaving that scarcity mindset behind and we're entering into an abundance mindset. Can I get an amen? Amen.
I've been thinking so much about scarcity. I'd never thought about scarcity in my life until stuff started happening and I realized, oh my God, so many decisions I made were based on a scarcity mindset. And I look around and all of a sudden I can see it everywhere in the decisions that so many people make. It's as if nothing better is on the way, nothing more is on the way. You're done after this. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on why it was so important to talk about more being on the way.
Oof. The affirmation more is on the way is a particular affirmation that I just began to speak over my own life. I was finding it very, 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 very challenging to actually hold it. And it really started when I got my own place. I didn't have, like, each month has came along up until this month where it's just like, and I don't know how next month's rent's being paid. And I don't know how this, my car payment's going to be paid. And I don't know. But I would tell myself in these moments, like, but more is on the way. I don't know how, but more is on the way. More is on the way. And it was so hard in so many moments for me to really receive those words and believe them. But to look back on just the past 4 months of my life, 5 months of my life, and to see how incredibly beautifully, like, amazingly my life has been, my new life has been provided for every single month. And being in a mindset of just like, I'm about to lose it. It's about to go away. I don't know why I was confident in myself to be able to do this. I don't know why I chose to do this. Why did I do this? It's about to leave. It's about to leave. It's about to leave. And to be like, no, this is yours. No one knows, but those few words or whatever, more is on the way. Okay, those five words have brought so much into my life in these past few months of my life. I am so excited and so blessed with the fact of knowing that now other people have those words now, with some reasonings behind it, with some philosophy, some thoughts behind it to support, like, how they're supposed to go about this world and believe. Even if there's no proof that more is on the way, that more is on the way. And I hope and pray that it's helped some people let go of certain things a little bit easier. And it's when we let go that we have room to receive. You know, you can't grab onto anything else with your fist closed. And you have to open it up and you have to let go. And so I feel like, yeah.
That allowance, I oftentimes think about a river and trusting that the river will take you to where you need to go. And sometimes you recognize that you're sort of caught on some sticks on the side, and sometimes you hold on to the sticks and the river keeps going and it's pushing you. And there's this constant resistance, and the idea of allowing. It feels like more is on the way would be a beautiful mantra to remind you to allow this life, to trust this life. Because I think a lot of the pain we experience often is a result of not trusting, which is tragic.
Yeah, I think about rivers a lot too. When you're on those branches, it's like a moment of relief because you now know where you're going. You're not going anywhere.
That's right. Yes. Static. Let's hold on. Let's cling to that which is familiar. And familiarity is a whole other beast. That
right? I know where I'm going now. I'm not going anywhere, because with that river, there are just so many bumps and flows and ebbs that you don't know what's coming when it is. And when you do catch and hold on to that something, it could be a person, a relationship, it could be a job, an opportunity, you know, it could be a place, you know, just of where it's just like, ooh, I kind of know what's coming next, you know, but like there's more branches that are starting to get caught up, and now they're squishing you, and now it's not as healthy. And now the river is a bit more, if not a lot more safer than the stagnation. But to let go in the sense of not knowing what comes next is way more scarier than being in a situation where it's just like, well, at least I know this person is going to wake up and be terrible towards me today. Well, at least I know that I'm going to wake up late for this job and get yelled at, or like, you know, whatever it may be. Like, at least I know. And like you said, that trust tidbit of just like, it is just so important for us to have a practice of trust. I was telling my little brother the other day, I was just like, you know, God can't do that much with your fear. God can't do that much with your doubt. But you give God some trust and you give God some love. Oh my gosh. That's all the ingredients that God
needs. More is on the way.
More is definitely. And the thing that I think a lot of people don't understand, especially like with a video like that, more is on the way. What we don't understand is that we don't have to believe the words that we say. We literally just have to make enough space to say them with intention. Those moments that we take to be intentional and to say the opposite of what all of our mind believes, that's a seed. And like it says in the word, a mustard seed is all you need to move a whole mountain. And just you sitting there and saying, more is on the way, more is on the way, just until you can feel it just a little bit, that's a seed. That's all you got to do. And God can do so much with that. And so, or whatever you believe in, you know? And so, anywho.
That was painter Lanaya Roberts. You can find her at Lanaya Roberts. That's L-A-N-I-A Roberts. After the break, we talk about another video she made about seeking and finding real love.
It was just like this huge moment where it was just like, I didn't fall in love with them. I fell in love with the me that I was with them. Oh my gosh, I'm the real prize.
I'm Kyone Wolf. This is Audacious. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the new investigative reporting podcast, In Absentia, which means you're interested in getting to the facts and uncovering the truth. If you'd like to help us continue our investigative work, consider making a donation. Visit ctpublic.org/tapsupport and contribute today. That's ctpublic.org/tapsupport. Thank you for being a part of the Accountability Project.
Many factors impact a child's achievement. To start, they need the basics like access to healthy food and quality health care. Join me, Lucy Nalpathanchil, as Connecticut Public and the Connecticut Black and Brown Student Union host a one-hour conversation about the importance of safe housing. Wednesday, May 8th at 6:30 p.m. at the Guard Arts Center in New London. Register at ctpublic.org/safehousing.
This is Audacious. I'm Kyone Wolf. For this episode about positive social media influencers, we're talking with Lanaya Roberts. Her paintings have been shown in galleries from Florence, Italy to Louisville, Kentucky. but she's also known for the wisdom and care she gently and lovingly spreads on social media. Let's get back to our conversation. Another video that you did that spoke to something that I think a lot of people don't like to think about is, what if you never find love again?
Does that mean life is over as we know it? Was love and is love your main goal? Because I think it's much more greater, and life becomes much more beautiful and filled with much more love when we stop having the main target be romantic love and start having the target be love of our life, period. Making our life the love of our life.
Man,
this was one that spoke to me after some stuff I've been through. And even though I know that, like, of course I'm lovable, I feel worthy, right? I have this job where I'm in the public, I meet a lot of people, I go out, I do everything right. I'm definitely going to find love again. But there's a little voice in the back of my head that's like, no, you're not. You are absolutely not. And every time you think you are, you're going to find out you're not. And you're going to go through that over and over and over again until you're dead. What if you never find love again? Talk about that video. What made you put that one out?
Oh my gosh. When I grew up, like I said, being a plus size Black girl, I learned that no one's going to love you because of the way you look. And so you better have more packing than just your looks. And so that's where, when it came to that thought process of you're never going to find love, I realized that my biggest dream, nothing wrong with it, but I realized that my biggest dream in my life was to find love. And in facing that question, what if I never find it? What if it never comes to me? What if what all I've experienced thus far is the best I'll ever have and nothing else will ever be better? What will I have? And the answer is myself. Is she enough? Yes, she is. And I had fell in love for the first time. I didn't know if it was possible because I never found someone that I could fall in love with. And then I did. And then it turns out they felt the same way about me, but they told me for so long that they didn't. And then they finally told me that they did. And then they took the words back a few days later. And at the time, they were also pursuing other romances in their lives that looked very different than me. They were not plus size Black women. And I just like would wonder, like, if I look different, or if this happened, and and so anyways, in the question of like, what if I never have another chance of finding love? What if that was it? You know, one of the things that I shared at the end was that, you know, later on in my experience, I had gotten tipsy one night and I went upstairs to my room and I was just having a blast with myself. And I felt a familiar feeling. And I realized that the feeling I was feeling was a feeling that I once had with that person years ago. And I was just like, oh my gosh. It was just like this huge moment where it was just like, I didn't fall in love with them. I fell in love with the me that I was with them. Oh my gosh, I'm the real prize, you know? We can really, especially when that other person is no longer in our lives for whatever reason, we can really start healing very, very deeply and gaining a certain level of appreciation of time with ourselves and the journey that is, you know, even when it comes to being with ourselves in relationship with others.
Well, I've asked everything I planned on. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to say?
I think, yeah, if I could like give a message to anybody, because you may not feel called to share online or do X, Y, and Z, but ask yourself, how can you begin a practice of generosity in your life? Come back to me 6 months from now and let me know how much your life has changed. Because I started really sharing back in December. That was now 7 to 8 months ago. And my life has done the quickest shifts that it's ever done in my life thus far. Of just purely everything I've ever asked for has come my way. To the point where now I have to start asking for more. Because all the things that I've asked for have been fulfilled in certain ways. So now I have to really start saying more is on the way, more is on the way.
Lanaya Roberts, thank you so much. And more is absolutely on the way.
More is on the way. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Audacious is always lovingly produced by Jessica Severin DiMartinez, Khalil Rahman, Meg Fitzgerald, Meg Dalton, and Katie Talarski at Connecticut Public Radio in Hartford. We'll have a link to the first installment of this series about positive social media influencers and tons of other episodes that'll make you smile at ctpublic.org/audacious. Please stay in touch with me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Kyone Wolf. You can always send me an email to audacious@ctpublic.org. Thanks for listening.